We are talking about finding jobs this half hour, especially in light of the current economic situation and especially in terms of college grads hitting the job market, one of the tougher ones in years out there. Our guest this half hour is an international best-selling author. His books have been translated into 62 foreign language editions. He's the author of 14 books, including the New York Times bestseller, Knock 'Em Dead, The Ultimate Job Search Guide, 2011. Martin Yate is with us. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Glenn.
Hey, we're happy to have you along here. And as one who is sending a college graduate out into the world this season myself, happy to have you along with some good advice. Our college grads are facing a pretty tough job market out there.
Yes, it's thought to be as bad as it's ever been. They're saying that 80% of college grads are returning home without a job. Which means my new book, Knock 'Em Dead, Secrets and Strategies for Success in an Uncertain World, is really tailor-made for this market because it's not just a job search book. It's a book that reveals these are the realities of the next 50 years of your professional life, because that's what a career lasts, Glenn, right?
That's right. It's not retiring at 60 or 62 anymore. This is going to go for a while. And I suppose we need to take into account kind of the new job realities, too, that it might not be just one career that people are in, let alone one job they're at for 40 some years and then get the gold watch. But they may have different careers over time and certainly many different employers.
Yeah, the statistics say, and these statistics have held true for over 30 years now, as Americans, we statistically change jobs about every 4 years. And the employment industry professionals are in disagreement about how many careers we're likely to have over that time. I always say 3 to 5, but a lot of my colleagues, and they're predicting, they're casting forward in this, is saying it's going to be somewhere between 3 and 8. There's going to be many more distinct careers over that period of time than just the 3 to 5 we've been living with in recent years. People entering the world of work, change is constant. Three things you've got to learn in this life: how to find jobs, how to turn interviews into offers, and how to manage the twists and turns of this career. And it's something they never learned at school. They went to a state college. There's one career services person for every 3,000 students. If you were lucky enough to go to a private school, it's one career services person for every 900 to 1,200 students. Where did these kids learn how to get a grip on their future?
Yeah, you're really on your own there. And is one way kind of looking at yourself as a free agent? I mean, you really have to. You're your own business, kind of, and your employer is actually kind of your client.
Well, you know, there's many themes in Secrets and Strategies, and one is if you're going to survive and prosper over this 50-year period, don't go out and look for a job, because at the end of 50 years, you'll have just had a string of jobs. You know, you've got to say, this is a career, I am the captain of my ship, and you really, as you said, you've got to look at yourself as a business. I talk in the early chapters of the book about thinking of yourself as Me, Inc., and understanding that as a company, you've got to organize yourself for this, and this means that when you go to work, you know we tend to go to work and complain about our employers, but golly gosh, the checks are good on Friday, which means those guys in accounting must know what they're doing, those guys in sales must know what they're doing, those guys in strategic planning must know what they're doing. I've got to get to know these people and understand what it is that helps our company work, because I have to apply these same understandings to my life when I think of me, not as some poor little waif looking for a job, but as Me, Inc., a financial entity that's going to survive and prosper over the long haul.
You know, and I suppose to be smart and flexible about that, and we can't underestimate the importance of those job-seeking skills. Radio, happily, is something I've been able to make a living at for over a couple dozen years, but there have been many different employers along the way, so you kind of get to learn, and as part of my job, I'm hiring people, not currently, but other jobs, and so you kind of get to see both sides of it. But, I mean, I think that is going to end up being more an indispensable skill than ever, being able to get jobs and segue from one to the next. And really, even if it is a career change, but to be able to build upon the networks that we've built in the past career.
Well, gosh, you said a whole mouthful there. Yeah, if we're going to change jobs every 4 years, we need to control this, because if you wait to change jobs until you've lost a job, there's financial dislocation, and that causes a lot of anguish. If you change careers, which is not just changing jobs within the same profession, but changing careers, which means you have to go back financially a number of steps, these need to be planned considerably in advance. Now, here's something I've learned in the 25 years I've been writing the Knock 'em Dead books. Number one, people only ever buy a book on job search 7 days after they've been fired. Or 7 days after they said, I can't work for this jerk a moment longer. People never, ever buy career management books because if they have a job, if we have a job, we think everything is going to be fine. We kind of do that ostrich act, Glenn, stick our head in the sand. So what we have to do is, yeah, you've got this job, but let's look around you. Let's use it as on-the-job training for how to be a better professional. And because one day I'm going to have my own business. I'm probably going to have an entrepreneurial endeavor of some kind. And let me build connections now while I've got this job, so that I can use them in my next job search. You know, everyone loves networking as the best way to find a job. Employers like networking as a way to find a job because people who come to them as a referral are cheaper to hire. They seem to get up to speed quicker and stay longer. But the problem is when we go for a job search, we realize we've been working so hard at doing our job, we only know 20 or 30 people. And we annoy the heck out of them in 30 days so they don't want to take our calls. So we consciously have to be involved in building relevant networks. Fortunately, the internet and social networking has made this much easier for us.
Absolutely. You have things, everybody's talking on Facebook, but LinkedIn, a network that's a little more business-oriented possibly, and then not being afraid to talk to everyone at your company to learn what you can. I mean, not, you know, thinking you're too cool to talk to the receptionist or the cleaning person.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, these, you know, the people who go furthest, the people who get the plum assignments, the raises, and the promotions, they're the people who are in the inner circle. Now, wherever you are, if you're just starting business, you've been in business for 20 years, in every department, in every company, there's an inner circle and an outer circle. Obviously, the assignments, the raises, and the promotions go to the folks who are in the inner circle. Now, who would we all most like to work with? The cooler-than-thou person, or the person who always has a good word to say, who'll always pitch in, who's always trying to make a positive difference with his or her presence? Obviously, it's the latter. So we have a choice when we find jobs as to what our future is in that job. We you know, first 90 days, and I have a chapter later in the book about how to get joined up, how to join the inner circle, how to position yourself for growth. You know, your first 90 days, you're very quiet, and you analyze. You look around, and you see who's in the inner circle, who's in the outer circle, how is each group behaving, and you decide what you want your future to be and how you are going to behave as a result. We can control our future much more effectively than we have in the past if we just know the rules.
We're talking with Martin Yate. He's written Knock 'em Dead, The Ultimate Job Search Guide, and he's been writing books on helping you find a job for years and years now. We're going to take a quick break, come back with some very practical solutions, very practical steps for those college graduates to take to get successfully started on that world of work and to, you know, take it to the next step and the next step and the next step after that. We'll continue. More of Martin Yate coming up here on Relevant Radio's Morning Air. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Glenn and Frischon this morning. Coming up in the next hour, what if your kid was on the streets, hungry and homeless? We'll talk about foster care and the current situation at the top of the hour here on Relevant Radio. Talking this hour about how to keep your kid off the streets long-term and help them get employed, making that transition from college to the world of work. Martin Yate is our guest this hour. And Martin, maybe some practical steps now. If that college graduate, maybe it was just too busy doing finals and they've suddenly thrown their hat into the air and they've graduated. And how do they get off and running?
Well, the first thing we've got to do if we go to the nuts and bolts of how you get to work is you've got to have a resume. And in life, your resume is the single most financially important document you're ever going to own. Now, fresh out of college, you have very little experience. Hopefully you've done some co-ops, some work release programs, some internships. If not, you're going to have no experience in the field you want to work. But you still got to create a resume. You simply don't get jobs without resumes. Here's the terrible thing, Glenn. If I'm fresh out of college and I do a resume, I don't put it on your desk for you to read. Now that resume is delivered by email and it goes into a resume database. And some of these databases have over 35 million other resumes in them. You know, it's like a giant fish tank. And to even see the light of day, they've got to be pulled out of these vast resume databases.
And some of those databases, now, won't they search for certain keywords? So it's important to have a certain type of language if you're looking for a certain kind of employer?
Yeah, you said you've done hiring. You've never, ever come into the station in the morning and said, it's a lovely day, I'm going to read resumes. because if you read six resumes, your brain turns to mush. So you only look at resumes when you've got a specific target job in mind, and you use that target job title, and you use specific words from the job description. So knowing this is how recruiters work, and knowing that they're only ever going to look at the top 20 resumes from one of these database searches, how does that help us create a resume that works? In the early pages of Knock 'Em Dead Secrets and Strategies, I talk about a technique called target job deconstruction. Very basically, it's collect six job postings for the job you want, and let's deconstruct them, pull them apart. So we start on a new sheet of paper, on a new document on our desktop. From those six job postings, we list the different job titles that are used. And then we look for a requirement that's common to all six. Let's say we were looking for a job as an accountant. It might have accounts payable in there. And I would look for the most complete description of accounts payable, and I would copy and paste that into my document. And then all the other requirements that are common to all six jobs, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, and so on. When I've finished, I've got a document that's a template for the story my resume has to tell. When people hire accountants, someone like me, this is what they tend to call them. Here's how they prioritize their needs, and here's the words they use to describe it. Now, if I'm an entry-level candidate fresh out of college and I don't have much experience, I still know this is what they want. Now, 8 out of 10 resumes start with my name and address, and then go straight into my job objective. No one cares what you want. You know, they're trying to fill a position. So after our contact information, the first thing we put is a target job title. And you create a composite title from those lists, the list you made. And so the first thing the computer sees, the first thing a recruiter sees is, here's someone who can do the job I'm trying to fill. Then we don't have job objective. Instead of that, we have performance profile. Now, if we have no experience, we look at our template from the target job deconstruction, and we look at the four or five most important criteria, and under performance profile, we write the opportunity to, and then we put in what the employer is looking for, the opportunity to do the most important things you guys are looking for. It's going to help your resume be pulled up out of the databases. And it's going to tell the recruiter, wow, here's an entry-level person who wants to do exactly what we want an entry-level person to do. So this kind of approach throughout your resume will really help it stand out.
So we've got the good resume put together, and lo and behold, we get a call, and they want to interview us. So we go from that that resume, and now we're in front of maybe it's the first of several steps in front of real people who are going to evaluate us. Now what do we do?
Well, if we stay with this idea of young graduates right now, and the same lesson applies if you've got 5, 10, or 25 years experience, there are five secrets to getting hired, and the first one is this. Every job in the world that anyone is ever hired to do, at its most basic level, is the same as every other job in the world. I know it sounds strange, but we are all hired to be problem solvers. That's the only reason anyone ever gets hired. to be a problem solver within a specific area of expertise. And what we're all actually hired to do is to identify and prevent problems from arising in our area of expertise and to solve the problems that do arise. Now, if we apply this to someone just out of college, well, they don't know the answer to that question, do they? But this is what you can do. Through networking, maybe we'll talk about networking in a minute, Facebook, especially through LinkedIn, through connections, through our parents and relations, we can find people who are doing the job that we want to land. And everyone will help someone fresh out of school trying to get a start. We talk to them. And we talk to them about each of these specific areas of this job that I've identified employers look for with this accounts payable thing. What are the big problems that occur? With accounts receivable, what are the big problems that crop up every week? And if we know what the problems are, even if we have no real work experience, we're in that job interview and we talk to the employer about, we show that we have an understanding of the problems and an eagerness to get involved in tackling them. That's going to make us stand out head and shoulders above the competition. And there's another thing that we've just done. Simply by asking these questions, we are being intelligently enthusiastic. And if there's two candidates in a tight-run race, the job offer will always go to the candidate who is most intelligently enthusiastic about the job.
Kind of playing into that good attitude thing, which is so important in the workplace.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, when we go for job interviews, we're nervous. And when we're nervous, we tend to tense up. And when we tense up, we don't smile, and we give very stilted answers. The best thing you can do is remember, when you go into an interview, the interviewer is often as nervous as you are. And there's two things going through my mind when you walk in the door to interview me. Number one, oh, my Lord, here comes another one. I can't believe this is what I'm doing all day today. And my second thought is, please make this the person I can hire so I can go back to work. Now, that's what's going through the interviewer's mind. So if you go in and you try as best as you can and relax and ask questions about the job, and when the interviewer says something about the company and it sounds interesting, make the effort to smile and say, gee, that's interesting. Wow, that sounds just like the group I would want to be involved with. By just making these gestures, we're going to come across so much more positively as the other contenders. And your comment about you've got to be someone who other people want to work with. Our communication skills, our interpersonal skills, being someone who tries to make a difference with their lives, tries to be a force for good in life, is always going to be chosen over the other candidates who are too uptight, too nervous, to make themselves relax and work on coming across as that kind of person.
And then, too, you talked about asking questions, and that's important. And not the questions of things that you can already know. You know, well, what does your company do? Well, you don't want to go in the interview asking that. But like I say, asking questions, I mean, knowing and doing your research so you know about the company. And then, you know, being interested in their success and basically being open to solving their problems.
Yeah, you know, you make this comment about knowing about the company. In the internet age, when it's so easy to research the company, if they're going to ask you, one of the most common questions, what do you know about us? What do you know about the company? If you don't know, it's going to be a black mark because the person before you did know about the company. The person after you is going to have gone to the website. They're going to have Googled the names of the leading executives in the company. They're going to have Googled the names of people they're interviewing with, where they know the names of titles. They will have gone to LinkedIn and Facebook and looked for these names. On Google, they would, as well as doing a Google search, they will have done something called a Google News search. That news tab is right above the standard Google dialog box, and that looks for mentions of your keyword in the media. So the name of the company, the name of John Smith, Executive Vice President of Operations, that will look for mentions of that name and title in the media. So this is what we must do as part of research. You have to do it today for any job.
All right, we're talking this morning with Martin Yate. He's a best-selling author. He's put together 14 books, including the New York Times bestseller Knock 'Em Dead and Secrets and Strategies. It's the Ultimate Job Search Guide 2011, helping to, well, give you some tips on getting that next job, maybe the job that you don't have at all right now, or helping that college graduate to get off to a good start as well. 5 minutes till the top of the hour. Just a couple minutes left to go this morning, Martin. Any kind of general things? We talked specifically about some very good things to do, but I was lucky early on in my mid-teens to decide I wanted to do radio and was encouraged to kind of do whatever I wanted to do. And so I looked for things during college, not only the major, but activities to join and internships to have and part-time jobs, anything related to the field that I wanted to be in. But again, something I loved. And I heard a quote later, you know, do something, find something that you love so much you'd do it for nothing and then do it so well that someone will actually pay you for it. And any advice like that on just general career stuff?
It's great advice as far as it goes. And it worked for you, Glenn, and it worked for me, but it's a different world today. You know, whole jobs, whole careers, whole professions are disappearing overnight because of technology. Jobs are getting exported overseas, so it's a different world now. I talk about in Secrets and Strategies, there are three ways to make a living: working for a company, working for yourself, and pursuing your dreams. We tend to have a go at pursuing our dreams when we're young and we fail and everyone says, now grow up and settle down and get a real job. We all have a go at starting a company when we're young and we don't know how to do it and we fail and everyone sort of smirks and says, now settle down and get a real job. And we just pursue the core career forever. But that job, while it's still the best path to success and security, it's not the only path and it's not as reliable. So what I do in Knock 'Em Dead Secrets and Strategies, I talk about how to pursue the core career, but also show you that how to use your experiences working for a company to give yourself an on-the-job training for opening your own business one day and for pursuing your dreams. The interesting thing is those dreams you have of becoming a novelist, owning a whitewater rafting company in the Adirondacks, whatever it might be, the same skills you need to be successful as an entrepreneur, as a creative professional. There's a set of 12 of them I talk about in the book, and whether it's a core career, an entrepreneur, or a creative dream career, these skills are used in all of them. So my lesson to people is, yes, you pursue the core career, you find something you can do where the job is going to, you can make the job the secure, you can hope to achieve some security over years with it, and while you are climbing that ladder, you don't put your dreams under the bed and watch 5 hours of television every night. You invest your life in the future of pursuing your dreams and pursuing your entrepreneurial endeavors. You know, Henry Dow of Dow Chemical went bankrupt 5 times before Dow Chemical took off. I wrote for 20 years before I had my first book published. Harrison Ford, the biggest box office star in the world, was a carpenter in Hollywood for many years before he became a movie star. It is possible to pursue your dreams, pursue parallel careers.
All right. Thank you very much, Martin Yate. Keep up the good work. Again, it's Knock 'Em Dead, the Ultimate Job Search Guide 2011, Secrets and Strategies. Thanks, Martin, and good luck to all hunting for a job out there as well.